I pressed my lips to hers and tried to get lost in her kiss, washing away everything that was to come, wanting to feel everything that she was, never wanting to stop. I slid her against the wall as she angrily kissed me with sharp nips and bites. Her fingers dug into my hair as she pulled me into her, and she desperately reached for my shirt, pulling it up over my head. Our kisses were frantic. Knowing when we stopped, it ended forever. The thought stopped me cold and sent shards of ice through my veins. It would end. It was ending. I sucked in a shaky breath and stepped back, straightening her shirt. The realization that I couldn't stop her from tearing us apart carved into my chest. She was going to go off and be amazing. And one day, she would meet her perfect guy who wasn't always on the road. And they would have their 2.5 kids and live in their house in the suburbs. And I couldn't take that from her. She deserved to be happy. Even when it was crushing me. Cradling her head in my hands, I wiped her tears with my thumbs and searched her eyes for any other way. She stared at me, looking as desperate as I felt. I needed to let her go. She was begging me to let her be happy. I took a steady breath. Okay, Sydney, okay. My voice cracked, but I got the rest out. If that's what you need, I won't press you, but no, I would do anything to change your mind. Tears streamed down her face as she pulled away from me, turned, and rushed down the stairs, nearly tripping at the bottom. I followed close behind, trying to steady her, but she was already swinging the door wide and racing out. Familiar burning filled the back of my eyes as my vision of her blurred. She slammed herself into her car just as I heard a sob break from her, and I pulled on my hair to keep from following. This was what she wanted. I was doing what she wanted. But seeing her like this was killing me. She crumpled over the steering wheel, and her shoulders shook. Her pain was an echo of mine. I couldn't fucking take this. I pulled open her driver's side door, and her eyes snapped to mine, my agony reflected at me. She hiccuped as another sob racked through her. Shh, it's okay, beautiful. Shh, now. It'll be okay. I promise it'll be okay. I kept whispering, gently placing one arm beneath her legs and one behind her back. I lifted her out of the car, shut the door, and pressed my back to its side. I slid down until I was sitting on the ground, leaning against it with her cradled in my lap. I won't change my mind. I kissed the top of her head. I wasn't sure who she was trying to convince, me or herself. My fingers gently stroked her back until her breathing calmed. I know. It took a long time before I could speak again, voice coming out thick. What if I quit? If I don't go to Boston? A shudder rolled through her, as if my words physically pained her. That's not how love works. We need to let each other go before we take something special and ruin it. She was right. But she looked so sad, like everything she wanted was conflicting with each other. I sucked in a breath and said the words I didn't want to, but I knew she needed to hear. It's okay to make your own choice. She leaned into me, her fingers curling into my shirt. Everyone's going to think I'm an idiot. Hell, I think I'm ridiculous. You are not ridiculous. My voice came out harsher than I wanted. I tipped her head back so she could read the truth in my eyes. You don't want to do long distance. It's an understandable life decision. You have your own dreams and a brilliant career ahead of you. I held her face in my hands and tried to fill my voice with sincerity. You're made for amazing things. You will conquer the Senate. They need to watch out because you are a force of your own. It's not foolish to follow your dreams. And don't let anyone tell you it is. My fingers stroked through her hair, and I watched it slip through my fingers. You don't think I'm ridiculous for moving to Boston? A laugh escaped out of her.
That's because you're going to be famous.
Anger flashed through her eyes.
Everyone wants to be you.
Of course you should go after your dreams. You'd be an idiot to stay. I shook my head and said, so I was right because of what? Money? Fame? They don't make my choice any better than yours. We've always known we're on diverging paths. I just didn't want to admit it. I needed to pretend for a bit so I would know what it felt like to truly have you. I tugged hard on my hair until my scalp shouted in pain. Fuck, I wish I could stay. I wish I could keep you. We sat for another half hour, and I let the feeling of her soak into my memory so I could bring it out and feel it against me when I was desperate. Sydney looked up into my eyes, but I was already staring down at her. She slid out of my arms and pushed herself up to stand. To dreams, then. Her mouth wobbled slightly on the words, but she held herself together. All I could do was nod at her in return. I didn't dare try to speak. I moved out of the way of her door and watched long after she drove off. As I collapsed on my bed, a familiar pain filled me. After Marcus died, I didn't think anyone else could make me feel this way. My phone pinged, but I silenced it. The only person I wanted to talk to had just walked out of my life.
33. Sydney. I lay flat on my bed and stared up at the ceiling, replaying tonight in my head. Tears streamed down my face as I struggled to take each breath. It was like a band had tightened around my chest, and each exhale constricted a little more. He'd forgotten me, just like my dad had said he would, just like I knew he would. I sniffed through my nose and wiped at my tears, but it was pointless. They hadn't stopped in hours. I thought he was different. I thought we were different, but we weren't. Hell, I already knew love wasn't enough, that the lifestyle was too seductive to compete with. My own dad chose it over me. Pain sliced between my ribs and twisted like a knife until I gasped for air. I thought he was different. His arms had trembled as he held me in his lap and looked at me, defeated. My heart had screamed at me to take it all back. Lie and say it was fine so we could be together, just to have a few more hours with him. But it wasn't fine. It was never going to work. We'd both actively avoided talking about the impossibilities of being together. It was one thing to be with a pro hockey player. It was a whole other thing to live in different cities. He would only get a handful of days off during the season. At least if we lived near each other, we could see each other in the morning or at night when they played at home. If I didn't end it, I would have watched him get further away from me, feeling my heart break hour by hour as we dragged it out until there was nothing left. It was better to end it this way. Then why does it hurt so fucking bad? A soft knock on my door had me sitting up and turning toward it. Mia popped her head in.
I didn't expect to see you home tonight.
She took one look at my sodden face and came to sit beside me.
Oh, honey, are you all right?
I sucked in a shuddering breath and fought against the wobble in my voice. No. Tears rolled down my face, but there was nothing I could do to stop them. I had worked so hard to be strong, but the truth was, I was broken. And I wasn't sure I'd ever fit back together. I ended it. Mia stiffened before pulling me into her arms and rubbing my back as I tried to take calming breaths.
Tell me what happened.
She was one of the few people who got why I couldn't just wait for him. He lost track of time and hung out with his agent. He was 2 hours late picking me up. Asshole.
I giggled, the sound wet with tears. No, he's not. It just is. The words burned down my throat as my tears came harder. I had let myself believe I could handle this, but I was falling apart. He told me he loves me, and I believed him. Mia didn't talk, letting me ramble my feelings out to her. I thought maybe, I sucked in air, maybe we could be different, but it'll be the same.
I'm not sure I believe that after seeing him with you. He's crazy about you.
My back straightened as I tried to pull myself together, but my mouth wobbled even with my jaw clenched. I know he wouldn't mean to, but my dad had taught me just how impossible it is for players to love someone as much as they love the game. I just let myself forget for a little while. Pulling my sleeve over my head, I wiped my eyes with it and met her gaze. I can't do that to us, you know? I can't accept half of it. We both deserve everything. I tried to steady my voice. Instead, I'm choosing me. I have to believe I'm important enough to make compromises for, and that's not possible if I live at the whims of a pro athlete. I sniffed in my next breath. I just wish it wasn't such a big loss. Why couldn't he have stayed the asshole I thought he was? Why did he have to prove me so thoroughly wrong? Mia waited until my attention turned back to her.
It's okay to make some concessions for happiness, Sydney. Life is never black and white. You're not letting him go because of your career. You're letting him go because you are afraid.
I wasn't afraid. I was terrified. Not ready to face that thought, I replied. I can't be the only one sacrificing for this to work. I refuse to feel alone all the time. Someone, someday, will come along and be with me. One day, someone will make their life fit mine and vice versa. I have to believe that. Even as I said it, I knew I would never have something like this again. What Jackson and I had was once in a lifetime. She wrapped me in her arms and flipped on the TV.
Sometimes paths separate, but that doesn't mean you weren't supposed to walk them.
When did you get so smart? I said, my voice cracking. She gave me a wobbly smile that had me looking closer at her. Her eyes were sunken in and puffy. She looked like she'd been crying.
You aren't the only one who's made mistakes these past few months. I got too close to the fire and got burned.
You mean with Alex? She nodded. Is that how he got the black eye I saw at the party? She laughed at that, and some tension drained from her shoulders.
I may have made the mistake of falling for both Alex and River.
Oh, shit. It took a second to let that sink in.
Exactly. She sniffed, but her face didn't falter. It wasn't fair to come between them. Hell, I didn't want to come between them. I just couldn't help how I felt.
Her eyes looked at me for understanding. I lifted my hands up in front of me, making sure she understood. Don't worry about me judging you. I'm the queen of letting her heart screw things up.
I had to end it. River blamed Alex. It was a fucking mess.
I held her close for several minutes before pulling myself together and getting up. One second. I headed to the kitchen to grab two beers and popped the top off both, handing her one. Screw 'em. Here's to being successful women. No man can hold us down. The words tasted sour on my tongue, but I pushed them out anyway.
Fuck 'em!
She shouted and clinked her bottle with mine. 34. 1 week later. Sydney. Jax sat on his silver suitcase and tugged at his hair, completely oblivious to the chaos around him. I was too far away to make out his features, but he was paler than normal and looked like he was wearing two-day-old clothes. My heart ached at the picture he made, and I desperately wanted to run to.
but my feet remained planted, my body hidden behind the house across the street. My eyes roamed over him, eating up every detail, knowing this would be the last time I saw him, and my chest burned at the thought. I swallowed back a sob and quickly wiped away my tears with the ends of my sleeves. The yard was pure chaos. His teammates moved in and out of the house, hauling the guy's things into a moving van. All four of them were off to spring camp together. "What are you doing here, Sid?" Alex's firm voice came from behind me, and I jumped a good foot in the air, a squeak escaping from my mouth. "Jesus Christ, Alex, you scared the shit out of me." My hand went to my heart, trying to beat its way out of my chest. He nodded in Jax's direction. "Go talk to him. He'll want to see you. Know that you came." "I can't." My voice caught on the words. "It will only make it worse." I pulled back my shoulders and plastered on a faltering smile. "Anyway, I'm just a fan now. I'll be following along from afar." Alex shook his head, his hands landing on my shoulders, shaking me, his voice low and serious. "You could never be just a fan. Never. You've got to know that. He would give you anything." Alex stepped back, a small smile on his face, breaking the intensity of the moment. "Now, where's Mia? I'm assuming she came with you." Alex's eyes roamed the alley, searching for where she hid. Sadness filled my voice, knowing I was breaking a part of him. "She didn't come." Mia had watched me get ready, but refused to go anywhere near them. Alex's smile faltered, and he shook his head, taking a deep breath in as he stared through me, nodding once, twice, his body rigid before throwing his coffee against the wall. I jumped back from the spray, and Alex looked at me, shocked, like he'd forgotten I was there. "Shit, sorry." He looked around one last time, then wrapped me in a bear hug, lifting me off my feet. "I hope this isn't goodbye, but see you later." He took off toward his house, and I looked for Jax one last time, but he was gone. Tears stung my eyes, and my hands curled at my sides. I said the words one last time. "I love you." Turning away, I didn't look back at the dream I could have had.
35. 2 weeks later. Jax. I shot the puck and watched it slide between the goalie's legs, and the crowd erupted with the winning goal. Erickson, the starting forward for Boston, tapped the top of my helmet. "Good job, kid." Pride filled my chest, and I looked around the rink, looking for someone I already knew wouldn't be there. Pain radiated from my heart, and I had to tamp it down. I'd buried everything to do with her since she'd ended it, putting up a wall of ice to stop myself from falling apart. Everyone was talking a mile a minute in the dressing room. I tried to keep my dark mood to myself, but I could tell I was sucking the life out of the celebration. I quickly changed and headed back to the place I shared with the guys. It wasn't much different from our old house. "Hey, man." Lucas beat me home and was already whispering on his phone. "I love you too. Can't wait to see you next weekend. I booked us a hotel." A sharp pain went through me as I pictured calling Sid after a game and telling her all about it. Why the hell wouldn't she give it a chance? I deserved a shot at this. We could have made it work. Lucas hung up the phone and turned toward me. "Listen, man, I know you do your own thing and don't want anyone else's opinion, but this thing between you and Sydney, it was real. You looked at her the way I look at Piper." "She broke it off." I couldn't help the growl of frustration from entering my voice. "Yeah? But have you done anything different? You're so caught up in her not wanting to wait around for you, but did you ever consider sacrificing for her? Like quitting the team? Does it really have to be all or nothing?" "Nah, man, I don't mean quitting the team." He shook his head as if he didn't know what to do with me.
Show her she matters, that it isn't only about your career, that she'll always come first.
He ran a hand through his hair in exasperation.
Listen, man, these girls make hella sacrifices. They gotta put their trust in us even when our jobs are full of temptations. They literally hang their hearts out, and you aren't giving her any reason to believe you won't crush it.
He blew out a long breath. I told her I love her, and she left me anyway.
Was that before or after you forgot to pick her up?
His voice was so sharp he practically hissed at me.
It was a mistake.
I left him standing there, still glaring at me. As I lay in my bed later that night, Lucas's words streamed through my head, and anger rolled over me in waves. Fuck him for saying I hadn't done enough. I'd laid myself bare, told her I loved her. She didn't want it. I closed my eyes, but I couldn't help but pull her picture up as I fell asleep. I typed a text, but stopped. Was I kidding? This was what she wanted. I needed to get over her.
Sydney. Banging on my bedroom door had me jumping out of bed. Mia popped her head inside. Sydney, it's graduation day. Pull yourself together and let's do this. Her voice was full of forced peppiness, but her eyes were full of concern. It'd been weeks since I'd seen Jax, and that constant ache hadn't lifted. I barely left my room, and when I had, it'd been to eat ice cream and binge on shitty reality TV. There was a void in my chest, and I'd put it there. Every part of me said that getting involved with Jax was a bad idea, but the force that had brought us together was stronger than I had ever been. It was naive to think that feelings wouldn't get involved. In my attempt to avoid being brokenhearted, I shattered myself. Doubt crept in from the first moment. How could something that I needed hurt so badly? Ending things had to be the hardest thing I would ever do. One day, I would look back on this and know that it had to happen. Probably while chasing after my kids as my husband made dinner. I wanted a father for my kids who was going to be there for them. Growing up with an absent father who traveled for a normal job was hard, but hockey players spend 6 months or more on the road. I knew all the rational reasons I'd had to end it. I'd played them on repeat since that night weeks ago, when he'd held me until I had calmed after I imploded our relationship. But when my guard fell, the quiet voice slipped in. Why couldn't we have tried? Why couldn't I have compromised? When I was feeling masochistic, I thought of all the ways that he'd proved he wasn't like my dad. The little things, like knowing I'd be tired and showing up with coffee and my favorite breakfast, all the way to the big things, like delaying his best friend's proposal because he believed I belonged there with them. I was a part of their group. He and I were a team. I pushed my palm hard against the ache in my chest as the pain shredded through my heart. I pushed him away. The deeper, darker thing that I was terrified of was if I'd truly ended it to protect my future happiness, or had I done it out of fear of losing whatever this was, because I lost it anyway. And I kept trying to convince myself I didn't want it back. I got dressed and came out of my room where Mia was already waiting for me. Her eyes were soft, and she looked at me like I was a wounded animal. If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny.
It's going to be okay. Not every love story is forever.
Her voice was calming, but it stung. No matter how many times I told myself that, I came to the same thought. I wish it was forever. I wish we'd found a way. I wish I wasn't so damaged by my own dad. When I was tired, I let myself be selfish and wish he could have stayed with me. Wish he would break the gender norms and my career could be the important one. But I would never expect that of him. Jack's giving up his dreams was as bad as me giving up mine, leaving me exactly where I was now, heartbroken. The ceremony was long, with my dad conveniently forgetting to attend, but an overwhelming feeling of pride still overtook me. I did it. I'd started out on this path with a plan, and I'd made it through, and now I was on to phase two. I desperately wanted to call Jax to hear his voice congratulating me, but the person who understood what I was going through was the person I couldn't reach out to, knowing it would hurt us both. Thinking about where he was right now, I pictured him skating with his team, and a smile tipped my lips. He deserved it. He deserved all of it. He was amazing, and he was going to find some actress or supermodel who was in the business and had a similar schedule, and they were going to have the happiness we couldn't. Jealousy filled me as tears built in my eyes, but I fought against them. I'd done this. My phone buzzed in my hand. Jax. Congratulations, Sydney. I'm proud of you. My heart slammed in my chest that he knew how much I'd want to hear from him today. I felt shattered now that I had. Gently tracing the words over the screen, I typed back. Me. We did it. We reached for big dreams, and somehow we've made it. I felt tears drip down my cheek and rawness scratched at my skin, knowing what I'd given up. Streaming, I wiped my eyes and went to find Mia. Tonight, we would celebrate. Or, at the very least, I'd get drunk enough to forget. 36. 1 month after. Sydney. I walked into my apartment after a few drinks with my new coworkers and sighed at the state of the place. I'd moved here a week ago, and there were still boxes covering the floor, needing to be unpacked. I hadn't had the energy to put anything away. Don't get me wrong, my team was phenomenal, but when I got home, all I wanted to do was call Jax and tell him about my day. I wanted to tell him about my office mate who liked to listen to 80s rap, and that I was starting to learn the songs, or describe how awesome my office was, with a small window that looked over the park where I'd found the perfect sweets shop. They had the best chocolate croissants that always made me think of him. Since I couldn't do any of that, I crashed on the couch and flicked through Netflix while living off takeout. Not my finest moments. When I was feeling desperate, I scrolled through his Instagram feed, looking for glimpses of him. Turned out, I had masochistic tendencies because every post hurt. Mia's voice came through our video call a mile a minute. She was excited because she was already first in her class, like I ever doubted her. She was happy, and my shoulders relaxed as relief washed through me. She'd never opened up about what happened between her, Alex, and River, but her smiles hadn't reached her eyes in months. Before I left for my new job, I could hear her crying at night, but she'd always deny it in the morning. Misery may love company, but I was happy my friend was breaking through it, which was more than I could say about myself. It had been 2 months, and the ache wasn't dissipating. I just wanted to call him even more. Late at night, when I couldn't sleep, I let myself think about how things could have turned out differently had I been a little braver. I pictured myself flying out to surprise him at one of his games, how his broad smile would take over his face and his dimples would be on full display. I let myself imagine the warmth of his arms and tried to remember his woodsy smell. It was becoming a special form of self-torture.
Jax. River crashed down on our couch beside me. Just fucking call her, man. I groaned. You know I can't do that. Putting my elbows on my knees, I held my head in my hands. No,
I know you won't do that. It was hypocritical of him to call me out like this. He and Alex were barely talking to each other.
You're one to talk,
I snapped. Why don't you just call your girl? He knew exactly who I was talking about. I was so involved with what was happening between Sid and me that I completely missed what was happening between Alex, River, and Mia. He deadpanned. Because she didn't choose me, asshole. His voice came out hard, and his body stiffened. I smiled.
You sure about that?
River glared at me. Good. At least he'd stop trying to give me advice. 37. 2 months later. Jax.
How do you feel about being called this year's most anticipated rookie, Ryder?
The reporter from Sportsnet asked. Jared was clean-cut, with a strong jaw and a lazy grin, no doubt a holdover from his past years of playing pro. I'd watched him on TV since I was a kid and dreamed about this exact fucking moment. Countless other athletes had sat at this same table, answering millions of questions to a room full of eager reporters just waiting for the next soundbite over the years. I'd pictured myself up here more times than I could count. This should have been a dream come true. But the question grated on my skin, not because it was at least the 100th time they'd asked it since they started calling me that a week ago. A fucking course it wasn't. That would be too easy. No, I hated the question because every time I answered was a lie. I smiled at the reporter, keeping my collected mask in place.
Nothing could make me happier, Jared. Best thing that's ever happened to me.
He gave me a genuine smile and continued the standard questions. This press meeting wasn't really about me. I'd just been thrown up here as filler until our new coach was announced. If he asked me, all this secrecy was bullshit. It was hockey, not a fucking soap opera. But apparently, the league was taking things in a more dramatic fashion because they were announcing the Bruins' new coach on live fucking TV. And I was the lucky bastard being used to fill airtime until he showed up. I answered on autopilot, no one sensing that the mask I wore of a young, excited hockey player was complete bullshit.
I know you worked hard for this, Ryder. Sacrificed a lot, like all players do. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Fuck, his words stung. The muscles ticked in my jaw with the effort to keep my carefree facade in place. I was just named the most anticipated player of the season. No rookie wouldn't be high off that. Except Jared was right. I had made a sacrifice to get here. And every day, I wondered if it was worth it because in moments like this, I swore it fucking wasn't. I swallowed hard and forced myself to answer.
You know, same thing as everyone else. Late nights, early practices. Learned to push through the pain years ago.
The lie tasted like acid and burned down my throat, where it landed heavily in my stomach. I rubbed my palms over my face, hoping I just looked tired after practice and not fucking heartbroken. I needed them to move on with their questions to something more technical related, or I was going to fucking lose it up here. The same woman who'd announced my entrance walked up to the podium and tapped the mic twice. She wore a black tailored jacket and matching pencil skirt. She was objectively hot. Not that it mattered. Fucking Alex had encouraged me to bury myself in pussy like he'd been doing. But I had no fucking interest. The only person I wanted didn't want me back. And no one mattered but her. The woman tapped the mic again, and the room went completely silent. She smiled.
I'm excited to announce the new coach has arrived and will be coming out to meet you in the next few moments.
The crowd buzzed with excitement, the reporters too busy talking with each other, speculating who it could be, to pay attention to me. I should care who our coach was. We'd be spending a lot of time together. But truth was, I couldn't give a shit, and I wasn't sure when I would again. The man in question walked through the door behind me, bigger than life. I vaguely recognized him as the coach for the Seahawks. He looked like a decent enough guy as he came up to me and grasped my hand, giving it a firm shake.
Good to meet you, kid.
My answer caught in my throat as I met his eyes. They were a familiar hazel brown rimmed with crisp green apple centers. The world tipped on its axis, everything feeling wrong and out of place, as my brain tried to process that he had identical eyes to Sydney. The woman announced his name, and all the pieces clicked into place.
Let me introduce the Boston Bruins' new coach, Mark King.
Fuck. I tried to push down the rage bubbling inside me as I stared at the asshole who'd practically abandoned the most amazing girl I'd ever met. But my grip tightened on his, not letting his hand go when I really fucking should have. You're Sydney's dad? I practically spat the question, unable to hold back just how pissed I was. My new coach pulled his hand from mine, breaking our awkward handshake, and stared me down.
So, you're the guy.
I'm the guy. My blood pulsed in my ears. They looked so fucking similar, him just a hyper-masculine version of her. And my brain finally caught up to the fact Sydney had never told me her dad was a coach. He must have seen my confusion because he continued, keeping his voice low so as not to tip off the press as to what we were talking about. All they'd see is a regular first meeting between a coach and a player.
You know, I'm not surprised she hasn't mentioned me. She's never been a fan of fame or anything that comes with it.
His words confirmed my thoughts. This fucktwit asshole coach is Sid's dad. He didn't notice the tension that filled my shoulders.
She's pissed that I don't see her much, but that's pro hockey life. I don't have to tell you. You know how it is. Who's got time to head back?
For fuck's sake. This whole time, I thought Sydney didn't want to stay together once I was on tour because she was afraid of the unknown. But it was clear now that she knew exactly what she was afraid of. Rage roiled in my stomach.
No, I don't get it.
Your daughter is fucking spectacular. What is wrong with you? I hissed the words at him. Sid's dad, her dad, shrugged at me.
You're new to this, kid. Trust me. One day, very soon, you'll understand.
His hand landed on my arm, and I flinched. Before you know it, there will be a million people pulling you in a million different ways.
Everyone will want a piece of you. Me, the girls, the fans, the press.
Young players always think they'll be able to balance a normal life, but it's not possible. He patted my shoulder.
We're better off as lone wolves.
I shook off his hand, and my skin tightened with the effort to keep it together. I didn't want to be a lone wolf. No wonder she hated everything about this life. This was the example her dad had set all these years.
Sid's fucking amazing,
I snapped at him, my voice carrying through the room. I barely noticed the press staring at us as rage exploded from me until I was screaming at him.
She loves you. You can't even make time to see her. You can't take a fucking weekend out of your schedule.
His eyebrows rose at my tone.
Kid,
you're fucking close to ruining your career. No girl is worth that.
She's your fucking daughter.
My hands tightened into fists.
Not worth it? You have no fucking idea what you've been missing.
You're making a mistake, Ryder. He didn't look sorry for what he'd done.
The asshole looked smug. I lost control of my anger and shoved him hard until he stumbled back. I took advantage of his off-balance position and slammed my fist into his face, enjoying the loud crack of bone.
My only mistake was not choosing her.
Noise in the room came crashing back around me as I looked away from her dad. Every reporter in here had their camera pointed at me and was excitedly speaking into their microphone. I took one last look at Sid's dad, glaring up at me from the floor.
Asshole.
I stepped over him, walked out of the room, and called my manager. He answered immediately.
What the hell, Jax? You know you just ruined your career.
Get me a meeting with the manager for the Senators.
I demanded and hung up the phone. Sydney better be ready, because I was coming for her. This time, I wasn't letting go.
Sydney. Mia. FaceTime, 5 minutes. Me. I'm in the middle of something right now. Who cared that something referred to binging back-to-back reality TV shows on my Saturday night? They didn't need to know how pathetic my life had become. The shrill ring of FaceTime interrupted my show as a window popped up on my laptop screen. I was about to close it when Anthony's text came through. Anthony, answer the call, Cupcake. You're going to want to see this. Curiosity officially piqued. I clicked the accept button and was immediately met with two giddy faces. This had better be good. You have no fucking idea. Anthony's wide smile took up most of his face as he typed something into the chat. Sent you the link. I hesitated a moment too long, and Mia groaned. Just click it. The link brought me to a sports news site, and apprehension settled in my gut. I met my best friend's faces. Guys, I don't want to hear anything about him.
Oh, honey, this you're going to want to see.
Mia insisted, and I clicked play. The newscaster was talking in front of a paused video, but I was too focused on Jax's still image to process what he said. Jax looked good, hair in his signature ruffled state, and he was rocking that adorable dimple of his. It was a sweet, torturous type of pain to see him living his new life. For how much it hurt to be separated, I was so fucking proud of him. I sucked in a breath when the newscaster played the video. The image of Jax standing as a man walked into the press conference room took up the full screen. I sucked in a sharp breath as my dad grasped Jax's hand. Holy shit. I searched the screen for the title, and there in bold letters was, "New coach of the Boston Bruins meets this year's star rookie." The air in my lungs started to burn, and I was forced to let it out. What the hell is happening? Just keep watching. Anthony startled me. I'd forgotten they were there. My dad and Jax stood close together, having a low, private conversation the microphones couldn't pick up. Even without words, I could see Jax's growing agitation. The muscles in his neck ticked, and his hands fisted at his sides. Whatever they were talking about, Jax didn't like it. My dad pulled back and put his hand on Jax's shoulder, continuing to talk. He looked at ease, obviously not seeing the rage written across Jax's face. Sid's fucking amazing. Jax's voice carried through the room. Jesus, they were talking about me. It felt like seconds before Jax pushed my dad backward, and I held my breath, watching them. Jax was fighting my dad. Jax was fighting my dad for me. I gasped when Jax landed a punch and laid my dad out on the floor. My only mistake was not choosing her. He punched him. He punched my dad. My heart stopped, then doubled in speed as his words sank in. Gratitude and terror pummeled me at what he'd done. He'd just publicly ruined his career, all because he knew how much my dad hurt me. There was no way he'd be allowed to play for the Bruins now. A pain lanced my heart, and my eyes burned with tears. I couldn't let him do this. What time did this happen? I asked my friends, not caring who answered.
2 hours ago, Mia replied. Sydney, what's that look on your face? What are you going to do?
Determination filled my veins. I'm going to fix this. I hung up the call with them and immediately dialed my dad. It took several attempts before he answered, and I sucked in a breath when I saw his face. There were some bandages on his nose and a faint purple hue of new bruises already forming under his eyes. By tomorrow, he'd look like a raccoon with two black eyes.
Sydney, if you're calling to defend your friend, don't bother.
I've already cut him from the team. Then uncut him. What? How do you think this works? Do you think I can just let players go around punching me? You are supposed to be smart. I swallowed, knowing he was right, but not caring. You owe me. You owe me for every missed birthday or forgotten supper. My voice rose with each word as years worth of anger flowed through me. For every time you promised to see me but didn't show up. For every single hour that I waited for you and every tear I cried. I sucked in a breath, making sure to articulate every single word. You owe me. Explain to the media it was a misunderstanding or some kind of social stunt and uncut him. My dad stared at me, stunned for several seconds before letting his breath out on a sigh. Okay, Sydney. I'll see what I can do. You better, Dad, because I'll never talk to you again unless you fix this. 38. 2.5 months later. Sydney.
Coming. One sec, I'll be right there.
My foot caught on the corner of one of the boxes I still hadn't unpacked as I rushed to answer the door. I let out a high-pitched squeak, jumping on one foot as a sting radiated through my toe. Shit, shit, shit. There was another knock, and I steadied myself before closing the last few feet. I swung it open, expecting to see the Chinese restaurant delivery guy, and the air was sucked from my chest. The face that had been haunting me every time I closed my eyes stared back at me. My trembling fingers reached up to his chest before I could even think about it, while his greedy eyes roamed all over me, taking in every detail. The last time I'd seen him was at his press conference. You punched my dad. Fucking right I did. Asshole deserved it. I couldn't argue with that. I'd enjoyed seeing Jax hit more than I should have. Jax grabbed my hand, entwining our fingers, but didn't step into my place. I know what you said, and I know you don't think I should be here, but I couldn't live with myself unless I got this off my chest. I watched as his hand raked through his hair and tugged until it stood on end. When I met your dad, Sid, he said, voice stern, I finally understood, but you're wrong about me. I get you have a history with an asshole hockey player who constantly bailed on you. I get that living with a narcissist would be fucking horrible. Stepping into me, he capped the side of my neck and stroked his thumb up my jaw, gently coaxing my head back until my gaze met his. You should know, I'm not that guy. I get it's a bone-deep worry for you, but I'm not him. Warmth built in my chest, radiating through me until my entire body began to hum with a soft buzz, overwhelmed with what he was saying. Jax accepted my silence as permission to keep going. I get it now. You have it in your head that you're not my priority. You're worried that I'll abandon you like he did. But I'm not worried about that at all, because I know damn well that's never going to happen. My career will never be more important than you. Hockey is a part of me, but playing for Boston isn't. It's not asking too much for me to put you first. And I'm all in. I'm all in, Sid. He took a shuddering breath, not moving his gaze from mine. It took me a while to figure it out, but there's something you need to hear. He lowered his head closer. You are worth it. My breath caught, but he didn't stop. I was in such a dark place when I met you. I was constantly sinking under the weight of trying to live up to what Marcus would have achieved. You convinced me I was enough. You took that weight from me. You saw me when no one else did. I could never put you second. I sucked in a breath, making a high-pitched sound, part sob, part squeal, and his thumb stroked my cheek again, a smile tipping up his lips.
I'm moving to Ottawa.
What?
An oily, dirty feeling coated my stomach, washing away my giddiness. I didn't want him to give up his dream for me. I couldn't let him.
But my dad said he'd take you back.
I turned him down.
You can't.
I did. A grin pulled at the corner of his mouth, growing until his dimples appeared. I'm starting with the Ottawa Senators next week.
His words had me reeling. The last I'd seen him, he'd been punching my dad. And if I knew anything about professional sports, punching your coach wouldn't land you a good trade.
How? I breathed, worried about his answer. But the smile never left his eyes, and some of my concern washed away.
Don't tell me. You forgot I'm Jackson Ryder, best player in our division. Don't tell me you doubted my ability to land a new team.
I rolled my eyes and huffed out a breath, equally exasperated and thrilled to have his teasing tone back in my life.
Serious, Jax. You should have been blacklisted.
His clear gray eyes pierced mine, and his smirk turned playful.
Turns out the Senator's manager has a daughter our age. He heard my interview and agreed your dad got what he deserved.
Fuck, I wouldn't be surprised if he went extra hard on him this year. His words whirled in my head, slowly clicking into place.
You did it for me?
Sid, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you.
His hands tightened, and he gave me a little shake, his excitement visible in the way his face lit up.
When we have kids, you better fucking believe they will be my top priority. We both have years left to build our careers. But Sydney, when you're ready to start a family, I'll be right there with you. It's not a sacrifice to love you. It's a fucking privilege.
My lungs filled with a shocked breath. When we have kids.
He gave me a sheepish smile, realizing what he just said.
That's if you want kids.
He stroked his thumb over my cheek in a soothing motion, catching the tears I didn't know were falling. It took a second to process everything he just said. He wasn't leaving me. He was prioritizing me. He was never going to be like my dad. He was moving to Ottawa.
You want to move here with me?
My voice was whisper quiet, and his arms wrapped around my waist.
Hell yes, I do. I don't know how you ever doubted that,
he answered in a clear voice. You don't care that you won't be playing for Boston? He barked out a laugh.
Not for a fucking second.
His hand cupped the back of my neck, tilting my head up.
Will you give us a real chance, Sid? I know you're afraid I'll end up like your dad, but I can promise you I will spend every day proving that wrong. Before you know it, it'll be a distant worry you won't think about, but you have to let me prove it. I won't leave you. I will always put you first, put our life together first.
Our life? I mouthed the words.
I meant all of it when I told you I love you. But I didn't realize that you might not know what love really means, what it can be. It's not just a feeling. It's the importance we put on that person. Love is caring about what the other person needs. And I fucking do. You matter to me.
A hiccup escaped as I cried, and his head lowered, leaning his forehead on mine.
You're worth it. You're worth more. We won't regret this.
I watched as his chest expanded with a big breath of air, and he hesitated before asking,
Am I worth it, Sid?
Jax's face was shuttered, trying not to influence my decision. His worry shifted to hope when my arms circled around him.
You are, I promised.
A smile stretched across his face, and he picked me up, swinging us in a circle. An overwhelming feeling of home settled over me. This was where I belonged. I couldn't believe I thought I could live without him. When he came to a stop and slid me to the ground, I grabbed his cheeks in my hands and tugged him down until his eyes were level with mine. They burned with tears, but I smiled so wide it hurt my cheeks. I love you, Jackson Ryder. His mouth crashed over mine as his arms wrapped tight around me. God, I've thought of hearing that again a million times, but nothing's as sweet as you saying it. His fingers smoothed the hair from my face. Say it again. I love you.
Jax. I ran my fingers through Sid's hair, listening to her deep breaths where she was laid out across me. We hadn't left her apartment all weekend, spending every second catching up on the last few months. The time apart had left us both insatiable. I doubted there was an inch of this apartment that I hadn't had her pinned against. Her arms tightened around me, and she mumbled something into my chest. She better hold on, because I was never letting go.
39. 4 years later. Sydney. Jax's face appeared on my phone screen, his broad smile showing off his dimples. Hey, babe, you look beautiful. You can barely see my face. My voice was full of laughter. I don't need to. I know. His grin turned wicked, and I had to fight back my blush. Running around our house, I asked him about the city he was in as I grabbed my purse and jacket, late to meet Mia. Today, we were celebrating my decision to run in an election. Surprisingly, Jax didn't say much about it, but he did send me a bouquet every day since I'd made the decision. The last 4 years had their ups and downs, but he never broke his promise. We made time for each other, despite our busy careers, and he was always there for me, even when he was out of town. Sharing moments like this over FaceTime was an adjustment, but it worked, and he was worth it. A knock sounded on the door. Shit, I was already going to be late. Coming. Jax watched me from the screen, but I couldn't make out where he was with the camera so close to his face. I've got to get this. Hold on. I pulled the door open and was immediately swung up in strong, muscled arms. Warmth filled my chest and tears pooled in my eyes as laughter burst from me. You're here. Always. He kissed me softly before pulling back. I wouldn't miss this for the fucking world. Joy flashed through me. I love you, Jax. I fucking love you. And I'll keep proving to you that you'll always be worth it.
This is the end of Rule Number 5, a Podium audio production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more sporting romance, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to Rule Number 5, Book 1 of Rule Breaker Series, produced by Mitch Rains, written by Jay Wilder, performed by Edward Black and Nikki Gray. Text copyright 2023 by Jay Wilder. Production copyright 2023 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.